different in quality. We have to find this difference, fundamental difference in quality of the attitudes of man and the propositions and fundaments of the foundations of the human mind in those two periods. The second period that starts after the transition age is over, approximately with the year one, definitely that means roughly with Plato and Paul, Saint Paul. This, which lasted till the 19th century, is a state of mind of which the unity of which we again have to discover and to describe. I call that approximately, or previously, let me call that a metaphysical state of mind. We will have to find how, what that means and how it is distinguished from the mystical state of mind. What happens now, or seems to happen now, is much more important, it seems, than we thought in the end of the 19th century. There might have been only one thinker who really faced or had an idea that something much more important than a new reformation, a new development of this Western culture or metaphysical culture in a straight row would be before us, namely a total breakdown of some fundaments that all this tradition had in common. And this was Friedrich Nietzsche. He tried to prove into the assumptions that had held up this culture much more ruthless and much deeper than anybody else, because he was haunted by the fear, and confessed so, that he and we would lose, perhaps, all the richness of the Western development, that we would lose our continuity, that something terrible might be going to happen to the state of the human mind. And he tried to find out, to make the first steps to find out what that might be. What are the reasons for it? In the meantime, with more people, the opinion takes place that there is more to our situation than the usual transition that we can overcome by a reformation of the old things we have lived in. And so we suppose for the seer, for the cause, for the sake of the matter, even if we shouldn't be right, we make the assumption that this is the case. That means we look at our situation as if this were the case. That gives us the opportunity to look at the situation much more consistently than we otherwise could. Let's suppose it turned out, we could find out that we are not justified. That the fear of those people is not justified, then we would have gained a great advantage. We would at least have gained an opinion how we might bring about a new reformation, if such a reformation is still possible. We might have discovered something of our own that we could add to our tradition. I would say, let's all hope that this is so, and not different. But we suppose that it is not so. We assume it for the sake of our inquiry, which has to be the most ruthless inquiry into our foundations, in order to gain an insight into our capabilities as they stand now. So if this is an ice shower, it might do us good. If we are really that sick, not sick, but also that healthy, that a new break has to be overcome, and new things to establish, then it will be a balance that hardens us. So we suppose that approximately we live in such an age of transformation, and we compare this to other transformations that happened before, namely the one great transformation from the mythical state of mind of man to the metaphysical state of mind of man. We want to find out what happened then, what did people and great thinkers, great personalities do in order to achieve this transformation, how did they discover new fundaments, and what was the power of origin in them. Because we are interested in the question, is the human mind, is man created? Does he have the power of originating? And what is origin? What is arche, Griechisch? What is principle, Roman? What is beginning? And is man a being that can make a beginning? So we take those people who have been forced to be beginners, hoping that we might, for heaven's sake, not be forced entirely beginners. But if our situation would be like that, we have to prepare ourselves for it. The question is open. We better prepare for both possibilities. For the reformation as well as for the transformation, without yet making up our mind what our task will really be. This background of the development of the human mind, that we can distinguish different states of the human mind, that brought about entirely different sets of culture and positions taken by men in the world, is one of our main means to clarify those our possibilities for ourselves. After the compromise, in keeping it, he of course redesigned by and by certain of his positions, went another way, becoming creative in another lens. The other guy who made the compromise from his side too. Ideal case, of course, but a possible case in human relations. The Greek gods also are able to make compromises. You see that in Homer. They make compromises. They talk with each other. And finally, Zeus gives in a little bit, and Aphrodite says, well, I didn't mean it that hard, and so... But a Triton never takes a compromise to be a compromise. A Titan cannot know, and especially Prometheus, that means the human intellect taken as a natural force, has only one tendency, that is always to be right, and the conviction always to be right. So a Titan, if he makes a compromise, that is compromise, that's just because he hasn't yet enough strength to crush the other guy. He is like the Buddha then, he just assembles more power in order to break through the next time, and more tremendously. So Prometheus saw suddenly his chance, because the relation between the gods, mythically speaking, and men is that, as well as once it was said, a constitution of a country is worth as much, I paraphrase a little, as it has roots in the hearts of the citizens. And that is quite true. So gods are worth as much as they have roots in the hearts of human beings. They do not live from that little damp there, and from the, they live from another much more effective sacrifice. They live by the hard blood of human passion. If that is not given anymore, then they wither away, become pale, might be only for a time. They never die. That's in their structure, mythical too.
but they paled. And so they paled. Prometheus grew stronger and stronger. And so finally, now we have to take, a Kafka turn. Kafka would describe a movement, inner movement like that. Suddenly Prometheus got crazy. He fell out of his framework. That means he forgot that a Titan also, of course, is only, he might be what he is only possible within the mythical world to which the gods belong to and human beings belong to. He suddenly went crazy, fell out of his framework, didn't believe in his own myths, so to speak, anymore. And decided to get rid of the gods once and for all. In order to do that, he had not only to take into account that they had failed because human admiration, the hard blood of human creative passion, wasn't given to them anymore. But he had also to take into account that he had to make a pact with human beings. The pact was to promise their leaders that they would become Titans too. This titanic ambition of the new type of human leader since the beginning of the 19th century is perhaps the most significant psychological trend of our age. Now we have the Stalins and the Hitlers, the people who are never wrong, who cannot be wrong. A Titan cannot be wrong. Who can make compromises by laughing already the partner in the face and making it, because they are so sure that they will break everything. Because they have to, they are Titans. This alliance of Prometheus with human beings of a certain type could be made possible only because even such human beings have a certain common sense left. It was not so easy to make them really crazy. That means to make them forget what man is and what the conditions of man are, his limits and his capabilities. To make them forget that was first done by the overwhelming success of science and logic. But finally, there have to be masses who have to believe in those great titans. They have to be shown more efficient facts. The greatest fact to be shown is atom energy. That means Prometheus finally had to give away his last secret, the last secret of the intellect taken as a natural force itself, namely to give to human beings a possibility to reverse the process of nature. That means to go into the innermost structure of nature and reverse the process. That means this, let's say, series of occurrences, as I will put it, in order to avoid terms like matter and energy, of which we do not know what they mean anymore. But this series of mathematical and physical occurrences that make hold the structure of nature together, they are inherent in the atom. The tremendous force, so to speak, I do not know what force is, needed in order to hold such a small particle of matter, I do not know what matter is, together. This tremendous energy, I talk in old terms, otherwise we cannot make ourselves understandable, or we would have to talk in mathematical formulas, which cannot be done in this course. They are the only terms that apply to those occurrences. But it is the same. We can use the old terms in order to illustrate what happens. The tremendous energy that is needed to hold together a single atom. To hold it together, because in a world, because Prometheus gave another other secret away that frightens human beings, the fact that our so-called universe is an explosion anyhow. That all the stars with a tremendous speed expand, that the universe expands continuously, that we live all approximately in the middle of an explosion anyhow. In the middle of that explosion going on in overwhelming empty space, I do not know what empty space is, but compared to those particles of matter that is so empty that, let's say, an atom could, it has been compared as to its particles that compose it to the whole globe, and six balls, tennis balls, circling around in that space. That is the relation between so-called empty space and matter in an atom. So it is in the universe. To hold such a little particle of matter together, that energy is needed that we now set free by Einstein's formula. The formula to change matter into energy, which is a formula that makes possible the development of the atomic bomb. That means we have penetrated with Prometheus into, by the help of intellect, into the innermost structure of nature. Our mastership over nature has grown to such a degree that we can, theoretically already, destroy it. This possibility of absolute destruction as to matter is what might have induced Heidegger to call it, this age, the new Promethean age. Prometheus has come a second time and given away a bigger secret than the fire in order to mobilize human beings against the gods, to conclude this myth, at least to give them the possibility to become consistent in their disregard of all other human capabilities, subordinating them to mere technical performance. This at the same time when we have powers, totalitarian powers, that would not even have to think about the question how to use this knowledge for other purposes, as long as they have not conquered the world, as long as they have not everything in their hands. And then comes the worst point of it all, and that is that this age is not the atomic age mainly, and is not the age of steel and dam, it is the age of paper. All those things are conducted by paper. That means the greatest production we have is paper production. And production, paper, something is written on. It mostly does not matter what is written on, because 80% of it go into files and are never looked at again. But newspapers, and now newsreels, television, every kind of print or the spoken word, might also be the screen. Paper in that sense is the main weapon of the age. Is it only because humanity has grown, mankind has grown so big? It is also because we all have learned to read and write. We have even schools where writers learn writing without having anything to say. Even children who have nothing to express yet because they can't be anything are taught how to express themselves and how to express themselves perfectly on paper, even in a good style. We can read without understanding. We can write without wanting to be understood. Those are great magical arts of our age, developed very lately. When educators today, old educators, say, well, we all thought that, let's say, in the beginning of the 19th century, or hopefully have all educators been thinking that when we finally have people so far that they can read, everybody, how wonderful an age will we have if they will read Shakespeare and Homer. And now they read all the daily news. Yeah, why? Is it only because, or is it because of failure of education? It is because politics, since the beginning of, since the French Revolution, started to take over in the mask of philosophy. Today, not only the speed that I described already, that made Toynbee work so hard and uselessly to keep up, even with a foreign policy of every year and a volume for 18 years, not only the speed, but also the scope of what can be known and not known, therefore, in politics today is tremendous. This hearing as to Asia, as to the problems of Asia that was caused by MacArthur's campaign time ago. You will all remember what fantastic material of information has been gathered by departments, state institutions, and so-called experts as to those matters, and it still was not enough. It almost seemed to darken the issue. It is, as I said, the historians 100 years from now will say we will never get to be able to describe that age exactly. Not because there isn't any information, because there's too much. And in a way, not the right one. How is that possible? How does that development set in? Printing of paper. If you listen to discussions, that is not only in America, so that's all over the world, so today. In the 18th century, politics was not a matter of general discussion. It is today, even in non-democratic countries. It has to be. Information, too much information is there, and not the right kind of information is there. Because too much is there, information has to be channeled. How can information be channeled? By categorizing information. Who can categorize information? The people who want to use it. That means we get by and by only ideologically biased information. And that not entirely by ill will. Take out that 20% of ill will of people who use that method already, namely totalitarians and in democratic countries certain demagogues. Consider the other 80%. They are not even able to categorize, to assemble certain sets of information if they do not go roughly on certain categorical lines which they learned. Otherwise, they cannot, as they say, organize their material. So that is a very human difficulty in our age, and it is general. Unfortunately, has the development of the historical sciences, as we will see later, and the sociological sciences, not taken into consideration this great and fundamental danger. They have not been looking at this danger. They have not been seeing that being busying themselves with other matters, that here their responsibility was that the outlining of a more rigid political science, as I mentioned, more restricted sociological approaches, and a more disciplined science of history would have to be developed in order to give at least the studied intellectuals the first help in order to be able to categorize material and information really, not mechanically, because they don't have enough time and not enough training, or enough training, but not the right one.
All this, the paper running wild, writing ideologies and irresponsible talk in politics, unavoidably running wild, and all that, the very incarnation of the Promethean mind itself, namely that little machine, logic, illogically used, that little machine that conducts all the other machines, all the other robots, beginning with atomic energy. That all, as we found through our historical studies in the last 120 years, that almost all phenomena that man produces in the world are intimately interrelated in all the different fields of his endeavor, prevails certain common denominators in a given period. That has formerly been called the general ideas of such a period, or whatever one, the spirit of such a period, the culture of such a period, whatever one wanted to call it. We do not call it any. We want to find what are those things that cause man to take a new position, or more popular, to make a new stand in the world. As soon as those conditions change entirely, and we suspect that in our time the conditions of the world for men have changed more than in other times we knew, except perhaps one, the time of the breakdown of the mythical world. So for us, those common denominators are still unknown factors. We still consider them to be factors to be looked for and to be found. One thing is sure, namely that the reactions or actions of man in his different fields of endeavor have similarities in any given definite epoch. That is the thing we go on. Now in our time, we thought that we would first try to find differences as to former times, namely things that seem to us new and funny and somehow things we are not really accustomed to, that shock us more or less.